used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA, produced his first film at age 24.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show at Dad's Point of View. It is time for some spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams, who is the head pastor at the Bel Air Presbyterian Church in Bel Air, California. He and his wife, Erica, live in Newberry Park, California, and are the proud parents of Judah Andrew Sams, who's a little over 2 years old and is recovering from a broken arm. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
As always, a pleasure. Last week, I gather you were sitting on your son while they had to reset his arm. That does not sound like a fun time, so share what went on and how he's doing right now, please.
Yeah, well, for those that didn't know, my son crawled out of his crib a few weeks ago, landed on his arm, we took him to the ER. And eventually they were able, a week after that, to put him in a cast, and so we thought he was healing nicely. We went in for the one-week checkup. It should have just taken 15 to 30 minutes, and we're waiting. What's going on? Finally, the doctor comes in. She says, "I'm so sorry. We're going to have to reset the bone." And I said, and this is my two-year-old now sitting on my lap, and I'm, "Reset the bone? Then tell me exactly what that means." So they had to cut off his cast. And I had to literally lay on top of him. They weren't able to give him anything. They wanted to do it quickly.
And, why couldn't they give him anesthesia for that?
Well, where we were, it was an orthopedic doctor, so they don't have anesthesia, and they felt like it was such a minor reset of his bone that it wouldn't, according to them, and that was intense in the moment when my son's screaming like I've never heard him scream. I'm laying on top of them, and they're, you know, putting the new cast on. It was a rough moment. My wife was at work; she couldn't get out of a training. Thankfully, my mom was there helping out, but it was intense. And so I missed the show last week because I was laying on top of my son while he was screaming my bloody murder. My heart was just breaking for him in the moment.
As does mine vicariously. Given the topic of the show this week and my column, I'm mad as hell, but what can I do about it? I imagine you felt somewhat impotent. You knew your son's life was not in jeopardy, but it still is a horrible, hard thing to see. As a man who ministers to those in need with big and bigger and not always big problems, you're always asked to give an explanation. Where is God? So what were you feeling in that moment about God, and what can you say regarding my column and some of the big issues that I think we're all facing right now with the world and me with my son? I've told you off radio some of what's going on, and, you know, I feel a little lost.
Yeah, boy, you know, the questions you raise in your column and the questions that I encounter, boy, on a weekly basis in ministry at the church are some of the deepest questions that as humans we ask. You know, why is there suffering? Why is there pain? If there is God, why does he allow it? And I've struggled with that just in my own life. You know, my younger brother died of a drug overdose. I've shared that with you and with the listeners a few times over the years. You know, that's an intense moment, crying out to God, why would you allow that to happen? And there's this interesting verse in Scripture that I find so fascinating. It's actually in the New Testament, and there's a command that it says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And it's so fascinating to me that there's actually a command that says, "Be angry, but do not sin." And I did a sermon on this about 6 months ago, and it's come out of just years of pastoral ministry. And I think that the message to not be angry, to stuff your anger, to squelch your anger, isn't a biblical message. It's how do you deal with the anger when you have it? It's to be angry, but do not sin. And I've often told people that...
So wait, let me interrupt for a sec. So in an odd way, it's saying channel that anger.
Yes, it's not saying stuff it. It's
right.
Not saying... Now, of course, there are some verses that say, you know, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. You know, the anger of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. But, you know, this verse in Ephesians 4, it says, be angry and do not sin. And I think that there is permission that God gives us. He's big enough. He can handle it when we can yell at him, cry out to him, and yet at the same time say, okay, I got that off my chest, but I trust you. I don't want to trust you, but I trust you. I don't know how this is going to work out, but you're God and I'm not, but I'm angry. And I think God invites that rather than stuffing it or turning to something, anything else other than him. A great example of that is King David. In Psalm 13, he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will you let my enemies triumph over me?" But he ends that psalm, it's one of the shortest psalms in the Bible, and he ends it with, "But I will trust in your unfailing love because you have been good to me." You know, David's described as a man after God's own heart, and here he is crying out to God. I don't know if he was shaking a fist at God or what he was doing with his body, but the words are pretty raw, pretty emotional. And God invites that and is big enough for us to cry out to him.
You know, it's interesting. Of course, the Bible predates the person I'm going to reference, but Hubler Ross, what's her name? Oh, I just blanked on her name.
Kubler-Ross,
right. What's her first name? I'm just blanking. The famous therapist who studied grieving and came up with the five stages. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Thank you. I finally got it. She did this amazing study about grief. And, of course, one of the stages is anger. And it's so amazing to me that the Bible has the quote that you just shared. I'd never heard that before. So God understands our need to be angry to process grief.
Yeah, and the do not sin part, I think that's so important, because it's the channeling your anger in the right way means that you're not trying to take justice into your own hands. You're not trying to get control, maybe in ways that are beyond your control. You know, not sinning includes not trying to get even with the person who, you know, cut you off on the freeway. But to say, okay, God, this angered me. And I think that's appropriate. There's situations, I think, in the world that God gets angry over. I can clearly see that because it's revealed in Scripture.
Well, he can't be happy with the state of the world right now, with what's going on in Nigeria, what's going on in Iraq and Iran. I mean, I'm mad as hell.
Yeah, you know, there's this one moment in the book of Genesis where it says that God looked at humankind and he was grieved in his heart that he had even made the human race. And thankfully, he rescues the human race through Noah, and he promises never to destroy humankind again, like he almost did. But the fact that we can grieve God's heart gives me a lot of hope that we believe in a God who feels emotion perfectly in the ways that even we do partially.
Well, that certainly comports with the whole idea that we were made in his image.
Yeah, so true.
So, listen, Pastor Drew, thank you. Give my well wishes to your son and to Erica for his speedy recovery. Where can you be found?
Well, our church's website is belairpress.org, and all social media at Surfer Drew.
Have you been out hitting the waves lately?
I have, a little bit.
Good,
it's been good.
Good. I'm happy for you. All right, Pastor Drew, I hope Judah's up and running around real soon, and thanks for joining us. Missed you last week, but obviously we understood. Listeners, stay tuned. We have Dr. Jennifer back with us after these messages.
Happy 40th birthday, here's your first kid. Round 2 years later, it's time to leave showbiz. Gets a divorce, now he's single again. Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with the dope wife.